Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke, from chapter 17. We'll read verses 5 through 10. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1493. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 17:5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. First, the seed. In a cup of coffee at the Soul Cafe, Leonard Sweet writes, I had a gardener for a grandmother. Or as Grandma Boggs used to put it, she was a dirt gardener. A dirt gardener has been defined as someone who mixes soul with soil and seed. And one of Grandma Boggs' sayings was, don't get rid of your seed corn. Seed is the basis of crop growing. A little seed goes a long way in growing a big crop. The story goes that one day, inventor statesman Benjamin Franklin observed a broom corn seed in a whisk broom brought from England. Franklin planted the seed, and from that seed grew the booming broom corn industry in America. One little seed created an entire industry. As Christians, our seed cord is the Word and the words of God. The Word with a capital W of God is Christ, and then the words, small w, these are the scriptures, the Bible. Christ is our seed corn. We know this because of the words of the Bible. Never get rid of your seed corn was Grandma Boggs' way of reminding her grandsons to never leave behind or put aside those things that make them who they are, their family, their friends, and faith. Preserving one's seed corn does not mean hoarding it and not sharing it with others. Theologian John M. Drescher tells about the corn farmer who won all the blue ribbons for his corn year after year at the surrounding fairs. Yet each year he shared his best corn seed with all of his neighbors. Someone asked the farmer, how do you expect to continue to win the blue ribbons if you give your best seed corn to others? The farmer replied, you don't understand. The wind carries the pollen from field to field. If I am to have the best corn, I must see to it that all of my neighbors also have the best corn. If they produce poor corn, it will pollinate mine and pull my quality down. So it is with all of life. We are all gardening the same plot. The quality of our life has a direct bearing on the quality of our neighbor's life. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Faith is not measured in size, but our willingness to use it. Even a small seed of faith can impact our world. What is faith? Faith is the realization of things that are hoped for, the confidence of things not yet seen. Faith is trusting that what Jesus has said and what he has done, that it is true. Faith is not fantasy. It's a reality that even though we can't yet see the fulfillment of everything promised, to live as a disciple of Jesus, his apostles, those who were there with him and saw him with their eyes, but they wanted more faith. Jesus said, in effect, you have enough if you have faith as a mustard seed. The New Living Bible commentary describes it this way. A mustard seed is a small, it's a tiny seed, but it is alive and growing. Almost invisible at first, it will begin to spread, first under the ground and then visible. like a tiny seed, a small amount of genuine faith in God will take root, and it will grow until it will uproot and destroy competing loyalties. We don't need more faith. A tiny seed of faith is enough if it is alive and growing. With tiny faith, one can overtake insurmountable odds. It's as if the tiny seed can say to the grown tree, "May God uproot you and throw you into the sea," and it would obey you. So Jesus is saying, no, you don't need more faith. You need to put into practice the faith that you have. And if these things that I'm telling you to do, things like forsaking all to follow me and to putting God before anything else, forgiving those that offend you and not forgiving others, these are just the basic duties. When did we Americans begin to distance ourselves from the word duty? Maybe it was my generation, the baby boomers, who were born from 1946 to 1964. Historians certainly tout those before us, those that were known as the greatest generation and the silent generation. They saw duty as a character strength. Yes, maybe it was us baby boomers, also known as the me generation. We began to say, don't do it out of duty or obligation. Other generations saw upholding one's moral or legal obligation as a good thing. One was expected to responsibly perform required tasks. It was honorable to do one's duty. In law, there's what's called the duty of good faith. This is the principle that directors and officers of a corporation or organization, that they'll make all their decisions with a conscious regard for their responsibility as financial executors. And similarly, in contract law, there's the good faith law. This is implied in a covenant of good faith and fair dealing that both sides will deal honestly and faithfully and loyally with one another so that they won't destroy the other side's benefit of the covenant. So whether it was intentional or not, if you think about it, the root of duty of good faith and good faith law, these can be found in the moral law of God. We are in a covenant with God, a covenant in which Jesus links faith and duty. In this covenant, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and then to rise from the dead. Through faith in God, this gives us eternal life. So God not only deals fairly and honestly and faithfully with us, but also mercifully, with loving kindness. And within this covenant, we have a responsibility, a moral obligation, to live fairly, to live honestly in good faith, and to serve God. On top of everything else that God has given us and does for us, God gives us faith. Faith is a gift of God. In Ephesians 2:8-9, the Apostle Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." The replanting of the mulberry tree, it's figurative. It's like moving a mountain. There's a seemingly immovable task. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's a disappointment. Something in our lives. If we'll plant the seed of faith in our lives, we can count on God to resolve it. I read a Max Lucado quote which said, "When you can't trace God's hand, trust God's heart." To me, that is saying, I can't always see or know what God is doing, but I can trust that God is acting lovingly and with goodness. A seed corn of our faith is Holy Communion. It's a small piece of bread and a tiny cup of juice. Sometimes our large hands and our clumsy fingers have trouble receiving it. Yet when we faithfully receive our Lord Jesus Christ's gift of bread and juice, it plants a seed within our hearts, within our soul, that it can just uproot all the evil in our lives and it transform us to be more like Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for the gift of faith. We receive it in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen.